Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who are attending this service from the branch churches, local sanctuaries, and those who are attending this service through the internet, and GCN viewers. From today, I'm going to talk about the third kingdom. When one person was testifying to the heavenly kingdom, he said this. When he saw the sight of the heavenly kingdom for the first time, he was so surprised that his mouth was wide open in amazement. Then, a little angel next to him whispered to him, "Please, close your mouth." The beauty of the heavenly kingdom cannot be expressed with any language of this world. Even if we know about heavenly kingdom in great detail, we still would not be able to close our mouth if we actually were to see the sights of the heavenly kingdom. Even the lowest dwelling place in heavenly kingdom is much better than any place of this world. But the environment and the facilities are very different in the different dwelling places of the heavenly kingdom. Between them, the second kingdom and the third kingdom are as much different as heaven and the earth are different. If those who live in the second kingdom of heaven see the third kingdom of heaven, they would not be able to keep their jaws from falling open in amazement. How much more it would be for seeing New Jerusalem located in the third kingdom of heaven. At this time, I'll first talk to you about the environment of the third kingdom of heaven. Through this message, I hope you will have greater longing for heavenly kingdom. I pray in the name of the Lord that with that longing, you will take hold of the third kingdom of heaven and even New Jerusalem. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I just told you that the difference between the second and the third kingdom of heaven are so different. Now, let me explain how things are different. First, let me talk to you about the houses in the third heavenly kingdom. The houses in the third kingdom of heaven are big and magnificent, and they are two-story buildings. They are decorated so beautifully and splendidly that no billionaire of this world could imitate any of these heavenly houses. The gardens are adorned with beautiful and fragrant flowers and trees. There are lakes that give out brilliant lights. In the lakes, there are different kinds of fish of many diverse colors. In the second kingdom of heaven, the owner of the house can have only one facility that he likes the most in his house. For example, if he wants a golf course, he will have a golf course in his house. If he wants a swimming pool, he will have one. But the third kingdom of heaven, every kind of facility that the house owner wants will be given. In his house, he can have everything, such as the golf course, a swimming pool, a ballroom, etc., etc. In this way, he doesn't have to use the facility of his neighbors. He can enjoy anything in his house as much as he wants. Compared to the first kingdom or the second kingdom, it's really exceptional treatment. They may, call their friends, and they can enjoy such beautiful games in his own beautiful facilities. How would God the Father treat the people in the third kingdom of heaven so exceptionally? I'll tell you in the next session in more detail, but it's because those who go into the third kingdom of heaven accomplish the sanctification. Also, during their lives on this earth, they voluntarily gave up everything of this world for the Lord. They gave up everything they could enjoy, and they only follow the will of God. Only by faith you can please Father God. Since they got such a faith, they gave up everything. They gave up the world. Only for the Lord, they accomplished the sanctification to the point of shedding blood. Because that's what Father God wants, and that's what Father God is pleased with. So they accomplished sanctification by faith. So they when they go to third heavenly kingdom. For this, God the Father is paying back to them as they have acted and sown according to His promise. Mark 10, verse 29 and 30 says, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses, brothers and sisters, and mothers and children, and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Brothers and sisters, even the houses in the third kingdom of heaven that will have all the facilities that the house owner wants cannot be compared with the houses in New Jerusalem. The houses in New Jerusalem basically have all the facilities that the owner wants. But the size, beauty, and honor of the houses are very different from those in the third kingdom of heaven. The size is different. If we say the houses in the third kingdom are 60, the houses in New Jerusalem are about 100. And that is, the smallest house in the New Jerusalem will be 100. Here, the size of the house is not just the area of the building, but the area of the land, including all the facilities. Therefore, if we say the land of the house in the third kingdom of heaven is 600,000 square meters, the land of the smallest house in New Jerusalem will be at least 1 million square meters. Therefore, even the biggest house in the third kingdom of heaven is much less than the smallest house in New Jerusalem in terms of size and every aspect. Just by saying this, we can understand how pleased God will be with those people who have accomplished the Holy Spirit and go into New Jerusalem. The size is not the only difference between the houses in the third kingdom and those of New Jerusalem. The beauty of the shapes is different, and the jewels that decorate the houses are very different. In New Jerusalem, there are so many kinds of beautiful precious stones, not only the 12 jewels that make up the 12 foundations. There are jewels that give out various enrapturing lights. There are also jewels that are immeasurable in size. There are just too many kinds of jewels to name them all. Some of them give out double-fold lights, or some others, triple-fold lights. Of course, there are many kinds of jewels in the third kingdom, but the third kingdom does not have every kind of jewel that exists in New Jerusalem. The jewels that give out double-fold or triple-fold jewels exist only in New Jerusalem. The jewels in the third kingdom give out beautiful lights that cannot be compared with the lights coming from jewels in the first kingdom or the second kingdom of heaven. But compared to New Jerusalem, the third kingdom has only basic jewels, and even the same kind of jewel is not as good as the one in New Jerusalem. So, dear brothers and sisters, one characteristic of the houses in the third kingdom of heaven is that they don't have door plates, unlike the houses in the second kingdom of heaven. It's the same with the houses in New Jerusalem. From the houses in the third kingdom and New Jerusalem, unique fragrance that expresses the heart of the owner comes out. So, even without the door plates, people can understand and distinguish whose house it is. Not only the fragrance is different, but the lights of the houses are also different. According to how much they resemble the heart of God, they will give out more beautiful fragrance and lights. Even on this earth, houses of celebs are well known to people. They are houses of big businessmen, world-renowned movie actors, or palaces of kings or presidential residences. Even without door plates, people know whose house they are. Likewise, because those who go into the third kingdom of heaven have great honor, people just know whose house it is, even without door plates. Also, compared to the number of people in the whole heavenly kingdom, the number of those who go into the third kingdom is few. So, it's even easier to know whose house belongs to whom. In New Jerusalem, it is even easier. So, brothers and sisters, the service of the angels are also very different in the third kingdom and the second kingdom of heaven. The angels in paradise mainly do the maintenance work of the public facilities. They sometimes deliver God's messages. Angels in the first kingdom and the second kingdom can help the children of God when they ask for help. When they use any of the public facilities, the angels kindly show them about and guide them in using the facility. The angels help the children of God to feel most comfortable and happiest. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" The level of service of these angels is different in each dwelling place of heavenly kingdom. It's similar to receiving different levels of service when we travel in the first class, business class, or economy class of an airplane. From the third kingdom of heaven, the magnitude and level of service of the angels are completely different, because people will have personally ministering angels. And it's not only one angel, but some of them will have multiple numbers of angels, according to how great faith and obedience they showed on this earth to please God. They will receive more personally ministering angels. So, just by seeing the number of angels given, we can feel the honor and the glory of each person. For New Jerusalem, sanctification is basic. With the sanctification, only those who have been faithful in all God's house will enter New Jerusalem. Therefore, the number of angels given personally will be much more than people in Third Kingdom, because the houses in New Jerusalem are greater, and there are more maintenance and other kinds of work that needs to be done. Even the smallest house in New Jerusalem is so much bigger than great mansions of this earth. You shouldn't think about tens of or hundreds of thousands of square meters. To maintain these big houses, how many angels would be needed? There should be angels to maintain all kinds of facilities and things that are given as rewards. There are angels that are take care of only crowns and angels that take care of only clothes. I mean, if you have great rewards, you will have, you know, different and all kinds of, you know, crowns and clothes accordingly. Depending on how greatly you glorify our Father God, the rewards you will receive will be different. Also, there should be angels to take care of every facilities in the house. Angels will maintain gardens, golf courses, swimming pools, and amusement parks. Other angels will escort visitors, prepare and manage banquets, and still other angels will play the music and dance. There will be so many angels needed. You will, you know, invite your friends or lovely ones to your house and play various kinds, right? You will, you know, make a band in your race. You will have a banquet too. Even in the third kingdom of heaven, all facilities that our owner wants will be given, and thus there will be many angels given as well. The personally ministering angels love and revere their master. Especially, the personally ministering angels in New Jerusalem can understand the master's heart. Even though the master does not tell anything, they read the master's mind and they do it for him. They serve their masters in the best way. People will be treated in a way that even princesses and princesses of this world cannot be treated. Dear brothers and sisters, among various means of transportation in heavenly kingdom, something can be used only from the third kingdom of heaven. It is the cloud-like automobile. The cloud of this automobile is not made with vapor like on this earth. It's made by God with the cloud of glory in heaven. Usually, an angel drives the cloud-like automobile. There are personally owned ones and also ones for everybody's uses. In the third kingdom of heaven, there are no personally owned cloud automobiles. There are only ones for public use. Only in New Jerusalem will people be given personally owned cloud automobiles. The cloud automobile itself is the indicative of great honor, dignity, and authority. The believers in New Jerusalem can travel with the Lord riding in these cloud-like automobiles. At this time, the heavenly host and angels will escort them. It's just like on this earth, when a king moves from place to place, he is escorted by many ministers. Being escorted by the heavenly host and angels shows the authority and glory of the person who is escorted. In case of the believers in the second and the first kingdom and paradise, when they see cloud automobiles flying in the sky, they too want to try it themselves. Unless they get a very special permission, it's difficult to experience it once, even once. But the believers in the third kingdom of heaven can ride on them anytime they need, though the automobiles are for public use. In New Jerusalem, however, the automobiles are given for personal use. Well, the one for our Lord is very special. A golden automobile is given to the Lord, which the children of God cannot own. This is the one-person automobile. So, when our Lord goes to the second kingdom, you know, his ministering angels will be there in advance, right? Because the cloud automobile is so fast. If we really believe this fact, we should be sanctified and be faithful in all God's house by all means. It's not just to get one, you know, cloud-like automobile, but the rewards and glory will be so different in everything. Other than this, the outer appearances will be so different as well between those who are second kingdom or under and those who are in the third kingdom or higher. The light of glory coming out from each one, the clothes and the adornments of the clothes, and the hairstyles are all different. We can immediately distinguish how much each person is sanctified and resembles the Lord, and how much each one is loved by God. One of the major differences is the length of their, you know, of the hair of women. In heaven, both men and women have blonde hair with a little bit of, you know, wave in it. For all men, the hair comes down to about the neck. But in case of women, the length of the hair will be different according to the extent to which one, I mean, to which each one is sanctified. 1 Corinthians 11:15 says, "But if a woman has a long hair, it is a glory to her." The hair of women in paradise comes down to the shoulder. I'm pretty sure, you know, you will not go to paradise. But if you wish to go to paradise, then you'd better have a long hair on this earth. Because if you go to, I mean, paradise, you cannot wear that long hair. I hope that none of you try to go to paradise in heaven. And it becomes longer in the first kingdom and second kingdom, respectively. To those women in the third kingdom and New Jerusalem, long and beautiful hair will be given as rewards. For those women in the third kingdom of heaven, the hair comes down to the middle of their backs. The women in New Jerusalem will have hair that is yet a little longer than this. It will come down to the base of the spine. The length of the hair itself is glory and reward, but the adornments will also be different according to the length. In paradise, there is no adornment given, so they have nothing in their hair. In the first and the second kingdom of heaven, minor decorations will be given according to each as one's rewards. But from the third kingdom of heaven, the adornments worn in the hair will have special meanings. For example, in the past, the hair decorations of queens or princesses, in Korea especially, were different from those of ordinary people because they symbolized the social position. They were more than just decoration. In the third kingdom of heaven, there is decoration for both men and women that they put on their head. It is the crown of life. Dear brothers and sisters, God basically gives a crown to each person who is coming into the third kingdom of heaven, just like in the case of the first and second kingdoms of heaven. I mean, the crown of life will be the basic crown to all those people who go to the third kingdom. However, that's not the only crown, depending on how much rewards they got. I mean, depending on how much they glorified our Father God, they will be given many other different crowns. And one example is the crown of life. Okay? And why did God named this the crown of life. It's because those who come into the third kingdom of heaven have passed the test of giving their lives to the Lord. Even in this world, when people pass certain qualifying tests, they are given certificates. Likewise, only those who pass the test of giving their lives for the Lord by faith will be given crown of life. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. Once he has been approved, the crown of life the Lord has promised. Who are they who enter the third heavenly kingdom? They are those who love Father God at most, right? Here, persevering under trial is not just the persisting steadily at something or suppressing something. It refers to a level where you don't even have to bear with anything. Even when a man has evil in his heart, he can control it to some extent. But in an extreme situation, most people cannot suppress it anymore, and it comes out as evil words or action. It was the case with Job. Job was an upright and honest man, but when an extreme test was given, what happened? When he lost his wealth and children, he seemed to be passing the test. But when the test came upon his own body, he began to complain against God. It wasn't just a light, you know, test. From head to toe, he had to scratch himself because it was so itchy. He had to, you know, scratch himself with certain stuff. He bled. The pain was too extreme. So he complained against God. He also argued with his friends and got angry at them. He outwardly expressed many kinds of evil things. But when he realized his evil, he repented and changed himself. He was then able to go into the level of sanctification. Up to this today, I also had many tests of giving my life. Here, let me give you two, of the testimonies. The reason why I explain these two cases is to help you understand what kind of test is a test of giving one's life. First, it was the dismissal from the position of a pastor in 1990. Dismissal from the position of a pastor is like losing a life. The General Assembly of the denomination that I belonged to at that time gave some orders for corrections to be made to our church. But the contents were all groundless and unreasonable. So we sent an appeal. We said that if they would tell us, according to the Bible, what was wrong with what we were doing, we would correct it. But the General Assembly just informed us that our appeal was being rejected because it was groundless. Some of my fellow pastors who were senior to me in the denomination had told me something similar to this. They told me to say just amen, even if the leaders of the denomination say that Coke is a Pepsi. Who can distinguish it? It's completely different. They told me to say, "I'm sorry," whatever the case may be. They said it was the only way for our church and me to survive. But as God is watching everything, how can the truth be untruth or untruth? If we truly believe in God and love Him, we cannot do that. Also, our church and I didn't react with any evil, but only with goodness and love. But in the General Assembly of the denomination, with only 90 attendants from among the 300 representatives, the bill to dismiss me was passed with 48 votes. Most of them left the place. 48 was not enough to dismiss me. But to dismiss me from that denomination, they made a scheme and they passed the bill. Through this, it seemed that I lost my life as a pastor. But God is faithful. He never forsakes those who keep their faith and righteousness in Him. Through this incident, it was not that our church and I died, but rather we gained a more vigorous life. We opened a new way to fully preach the fivefold gospel of holiness. The second test to give up my life took place in 1992. It was when I bled so much. On June 13, 1992, I bled for the first time. In that situation, I may have been able to go to the hospital and get a simple treatment to stop the bleeding. But I didn't depend on the world. I just, you know, depended on God. You know, all I needed was hemostasis. All I did was just, you know, hemostasis by laser, right? Just one simple, you know, treatment. That's it. But I had a determination. If I perish, I perish. I was always proclaiming that God is almighty and nothing is impossible for those who believed. I couldn't compromise with the world at the threshold of death. I chose to rather lose my life than disgrace the name of God. So my life actually ended, and my spirit went before the Lord. But the Lord revived me. He let me fulfill all the duties given to me at the end time, complete time. Completely. Dear brothers and sisters, to pass a test of giving one's life is something like this. Even in a test of dying, we just choose the truth. Even in a situation of actually dying, we firmly and still keep our faith. How can we do that? We can do it if we love God enough. The fourth level of faith, which is required to go into the third kingdom of heaven, is the faith to love God to the utmost degree. Because they have this kind of faith, they can pass even the test of sacrificing their lives. But even in this world, we do not have little children to, take college entrance exam. They attend elementary, middle, high schools, and they take many kinds of exams. Through the exams, they check their progress and go up to the next step. It's the same with the tests of checking our faith. After we receive the Holy Spirit and as our faith grows up, there are constant tests that are both small and big. In our everyday life, we have the test of choosing between the truth and the untruth. Forefathers of God, prophets, and the disciples of the Lord, in the face of this kind of test, Abraham passed this kind of test. And he received the best blessing from Father God when he was approved by Father God. If we choose the truth every time, we pass the tests and go into spirit to the same extent. But if we compromise with the world every time, our faith cannot grow. It may even backslide. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit." The flesh sets its desire against, it's against the spirit. They disobey the word of God. And the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Those who pray well, from time to time, they feel weary, right? Why is that? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything. The Holy Spirit is supposed to give us peace, but why do you get weary? It's because you have desire against the Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't want you to do that, but you follow the desire of the flesh. That's why you feel weary. Once you feel weary, you got to realize that you committed sin before. You do evil. If you don't do evil, if you don't do untruth, if you commit a sin, if you go against the Holy Spirit, you feel weary. Otherwise, you will never feel it. You will have only peace and joy in your heart. Romans 7:22 and 23 says, "For I joyfully conquer with the law of God in the inner man." I joyfully conquer with the law of God in the inner man. The inner man refers to the spirit. I joyfully conquer with the law of God in the inner man. Do you joyfully conquer it? So, I joyfully conquer with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. If you just joyfully conquer with the law of God and follow the desires of the Spirit, you can easily pass the tests of faith. But the problem is that the desires of the flesh, the self that was made before we came into the Lord, tries to live by its own will. People think we have to live by the Word of God with their brain, but their heart is not the same. For example, they know that they must not eat something, but they eat it following the levels of faith. They know they must not look at something, but they look following the desire of the flesh. They know they must not take it, but they take it following the desires of the flesh. They know they must not speak in a certain situation, but they cannot control themselves and blur it out. Their feelings are also hurt and they got angry. They know the Word of God, but because they acted in the opposite way, their hearts are afflicted. But those who truly love God cut off and cast away these desires of flesh. Even in this world, when people love somebody, they change so much. Usually, lazy people become diligent for their loved ones. Those who are usually very neat come neat and clean in their appearances. Although fleshly love does not last long, the love has this kind of power. Therefore, if we understand the love of the Lord who died in the place of us to save us from hell, we cannot help but love the Lord too. With the love for the Lord, we can give up our desire to take our own benefit. Also, we can cast off the forms of evil that the Lord hates. In many situations, we have to kill the self that tries to live according to our own desires. It's just as Apostle Paul said, "I die daily." If one always follows the will of God in any situation, it's the same as giving his life. Because he has completely cast off his flesh that was forming himself. This is referred to as living martyrdom. Where in the world can we find living martyrdom? So you gotta listen carefully, okay? This is to be faithful to the point of death. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Usually, people think that to be faithful is to diligently fulfill one's duty. But the kind of faithfulness that God really wants is spiritual faithfulness. Above all, we have to accomplish the heart of Spirit and become His true children. Of course, we have to fulfill our duties at the same time. We can find ourselves while we are performing our duties, and it will be easier for us to change. Those who fight against sin to the point of shedding blood, they are those who are faithful until death. Since they love God, they believe in God, they keep all the words of God and His commandments. But sometimes there are people who are diligently in fulfilling their duties, but they are neglecting spiritual faithfulness. If we have fervor to do voluntary works with our sweat, we also have to be diligent in the casting of sins. We always have to check the sinful natures that are remaining in us. Then we have to pray fervently to pull them out completely. If we have to keep it in mind all the time so that the evil acts will not come out. Even when we have a thought of untruth for a moment, we have to pray not to have the same thought again. We have to try to pull out even the slightest bit of agitation and stirring of evil in our heart. Nobody else can do this for us. We have to do it ourselves. We have to go on step by step with humble and truthful hearts. The speed of the progress may be different according to each one's inner heart, but everybody has to go through this kind of process to go into spirit. Spirit is not visible or tangible, so we may not have a clear idea of what to do. But still, when we keep on casting off sins and sins by faith, because of our love for the Lord, God always says, you know, we are faithful. Of course, God the Father shows greater love for you as you go into spirit and more and more. Once you pass the test and overcome it, then you will receive blessings so far, for sure. Spiritual blessing, I mean. Since your spirit and soul prosper, financial blessing will also follow, too, along with health and finance. Why? You passed the test, and Father God is pleased. So, He gives you reward. He comforts you. The answers to your prayers come more quickly, and prosperity in everything is also different. So even if you may feel it is difficult to go into spirit in the beginning, the more you change into spirit, the easier it becomes. Brothers and sisters, the crown of life is given when we pass the levels, when we pass the test of giving up life by faith. So, those who become martyrs for the name of the Lord will receive the crown of life in the third heavenly kingdom. Even if they are not fully sanctified at the moment of their death, their heart is acknowledged by the martyrdom. Why is it so? If they have the heart to become a martyr to keep their faith, it means they can truly become sanctified. If they try more time to live on this earth, they can surely cast off all the flesh and have heart of spirit. But dying in a mission field cannot all be considered in martyrdom. Also, in a case where one thinks he kept faith by not compromising with the world, in God's sight, it is not martyrdom. On the other side, both may seem to be the same kind of martyrdom. But the faith and heart of each one is different. There are people who become a martyr with faith and true love, but there are all different cases too. Today's passage says that the Lord will give the crown of life after one is approved. Now, among those who are saved by conscience judgment, some of them go into the third kingdom of heaven. About what the conscience judgment is and what the standards are, I will explain in the next session. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let me conclude this message. In this session, I told you about the meaning of the crown of life that is given in the third kingdom. I also told you with what kind of faith we can go into the third kingdom of heaven. It is the faith to love the Lord to the utmost degree and more than anything else. And this faith and love have to be approved by not ourselves but by the Lord. And what is the standard for the Lord to approve it? It is that we have to pass the test of giving our lives for the Lord. If you have faith and if you love God, this kind of test is not difficult at all. I myself have passed so many trials like this after I started this church. Before the start, you know, we didn't call it tests. I never thought I, you know, encountered a test. I never thought about it. But after I founded this church, I came up with this thing and that thing. After the start of this church, there are so many people who try to destroy me, to hinder me from doing God's work. So the tests were continuing without stopping. But by faith, but by the Lord that I got for God, it was easy for me to pass. Matthew 10:39 says, "He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." Of course, if we keep our faith even under severe persecutions and become a martyr, it is a really giving one's life. But there is a living martyrdom as well. It is to kill the self within us completely and follow the desires of the Spirit alone. It is to enter Spirit. You shed much blood to enter Spirit. To cast off sin, you shed much blood. You overcame so many persecutions. Even cast off every form of evil, you cultivated your heart into Spirit and truth. That's why you are given crown of life. And then, you may be compared to the one who died as martyrdom. In order to do so, that we have to completely cast off the flesh that has been forming ourselves. We have to cast off all forms of evil too. After all, we can follow the desires of the Spirit 100% only when we cultivate Spirit in our heart with Spirit 100%. And the driving force to do this is the love for the Lord. We have to love the Lord to the utmost degree and more than ourselves. That's why we can give up ourselves. The Lord also loves this kind of person so much. He gives them not only the glory in heaven, but also amazing blessings on this earth. He gives them blessings of a different dimension than when we were still in flesh. I hope all of you will go long for this level of Spirit more. By doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you may come into Spirit and Holy Spirit more quickly.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.